Drunk on Comics, episode 58.
Hey.
No moms.
No moms, no rules.
Dude, you said you wanted to say something.
All right, let's try to go. All right, let's do it again.
No, we're doing this live.
I didn't know we were doing no moms, no rules.
Okay, here. Drunk on Comics, episode 58, where we slowly wait for Jim to butt in.
No moms, no rules!
Wow, this was just spontaneous. I would never have thought we'd plan this.
Oh, okay.
Jim, you're off.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Welcome to Drunk on Comics. My name is Derek. We just fired Jim, the intern. And we got Tony here.
Yep. Well, actually, I don't know if you heard, Derek. Jim's got a new job, actually, so he doesn't need us.
Well, I heard he applied for a new job.
Well, no, but he's working at a winery right now.
Yeah, he has a joke that he's about to tell me. I think.
Yeah.
So, okay, guys, I work at a winery.
Yeah, you're up there crushing grapes and making the wine. Some might call you a grapist.
Wow. God, the thing is like, I know he's been thinking about this shit all week.
Well, he told me last night, like, hey, Jim, just go with it. You work at a winery.
Just like you said, hey, Tony, go with it. I'm going to interrupt you and say mom's rule, chick's drool or something. You really suck at this whole being like it's live.
This is why we don't pay him, though. Yeah.
You forgot.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we told you right before we're going to start. Jim, are you ready?
So anyway, guys, welcome to Drunk on Comics, our weekly podcast where we talk comic books and we talk conventions and industry news and covers.
Newts, lizards,
yep,
iguanas.
Salamanders.
Yeah. We got it all here.
Yeah, we got pretty much everything. So we're going to get things kicked off here with Off the Shelf, which is once again brought to you by Grand Con. You can check them out at grand-con.com. It's happening September 20th through the 22nd. That's coming up quick. At the Prince Convention Center at Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. One thing that I just found out, which I thought was pretty cool, is that I think it's it's either $1 or $2, but I'll say $1 just to be safe, of every admission goes to the Helen DeVos Children's Hospital. So they're partnering up with them to help raise money for that. So I thought that was kind of cool.
All right. Well, let's kick it off, Jim. You're going first.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Jim sucks.
I'm here.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Jim's not fond of raisins, because they used to be grapes.
Wow. Today's the episode of Drunk on Comics where we hit an all-time low with our humor. And
wait, we've had humor?
I thought. Maybe not.
We're mostly drunk. But so just be warned, we're going to talk about shit that goes on in the books, so if you don't want it ruined, like we've ruined every joke so far, then you should hit pause, read your books, and then come back.
Otherwise, I was being serious. I wasn't joking.
Okay. So, Jim, what'd you read?
All right, I read Young Avengers issue 7 by Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey. This book is the must-read. I'd say this is kind of like the Hawkeye of this year. You got to do it.
Wait, how is it the Hawkeye of this year when Hawkeye is still in its first year?
Hawkeye was last year. This is this year.
Hawkeye hasn't hit 12 issues.
But no, it was the book that came out in 2012 that's the must-read. This is the book that came out in 2013 that's the must-read from Marvel. Okay. Sorry for the confusion on that. So we get this little romp issue that kind of gearing up for the next arc in the book. And I'd say this is probably a pretty decent place to just jump on in. And if you haven't yet, Jamie McKelvey's art is ridiculously good.
I'm like, is he gonna talk? Tony doesn't know how to use a computer anymore.
So
what the hell is going on with us today?
All right, let's restart it.
Oh, fuck that.
People Drunk on Comics, episode 58.
No moms, no rules.
You were on cue. Holy shit.
Jim likes grapes.
All right, so we're going to get into Off the Shelf, brought to you by Grand Con.
Okay, keep talking about your book.
Spoiler alert.
So the two people that are left listening.
I'm not listening anymore. There's only one.
Jim's mom doesn't count.
No, it's a No Moms episode.
My mom reads this book, actually, and so by her rules, I read it as well. So, okay, back to McKelvey. Jamie McKelvey is a fantastic artist. He's really kind of experimenting with this book and doing things that I've frankly never seen in comics before. There's a page of Loki's Twitter or Instagram account, and you see the Young Avengers are all commenting on it, and you know there's awesome things like Wiccan accidentally makes his bear huge and they're running from it, and I mean you get that, and then you get a story from Prodigy. He's recapping something that happened in the last issue for people who are jumping in. And you get these panel layouts that are his face.
That's really, really fucking smart.
Yeah. And since he wears goggles, you have the goggles making separate panels in it. Just really inventive stuff and doing things that show that like comics are its own medium. It's not a playoff of anything else. It has its own form of storytelling, and I really, really appreciate when artists do this. You get an awesome cliffhanger. Miss America's awesome. And I can't wait for the next issue, like always. So, 2 pints up, 2 thumbs up, 2 toes up.
But no thumbs in your pints.
No thumbs in my pints, ever.
Yeah. No moms.
No rules. Pick up Young Avengers, issue 7. It's the best.
Party! All right. Well, I'm going to continue on with your Avengers theme, which it's weird when I talk Avengers and Matt's not here. Even though it's not really Avengers, it's
filling in for him. Well, it is Avengers.
Well, it's in title only. It's Avengers Arena, issue 12, written by Dennis Hopeless, Kev Walker on art, Jason Gorder on inks. And Jean-Francois Bilot, colors, and Joe Carmona doing letters. So, what's up, Joe? How you doing? But anyway, Dave Johnson did the cover on this. This book, starting out, Nico of the Runaways was killed at the end of the last issue. Had her arm chopped off, and she bled out in the snow. And you see her dead here at the beginning, and then all of a sudden you see the magic coming from her wand, her staff, and it's slowly raising up her body. And the one cool thing that they've been doing with this is that when they put somebody's names, they have the little life bar next to them. So like if they're injured, it's down a little bit. If they're fine, it's all the way up. Well, hers is empty.
That makes me feel like this is just a video game world.
Well, we'll kind of come to that here. Like I'll explain something that I'm curious about. But Nico bleeds out, and then all of a sudden, like you see her little life bar, has 1 life meter, then 2, and then all of a sudden she's up and she's at full power. And she's more powerful now than she's ever been. Just kicking the shit out of a lot of people in this book. And the art is fantastic. But the cool thing is Arcade goes in and he's watching. He's like, whoa, he's like, well, I didn't really expect her to do that. And he goes, yeah, little Miss Gothy has to give a blood sacrifice to access her witchy powers, which, you know, normally she would just a couple drops here or there, whatever. But when she fucking bled out, it basically regenerated her and basically rebuilt her from the ground up. So she basically powered up. She leveled up, more or less. And it was a really interesting thing to see, because I hate death in comics when it's death and then they bring them back and they're like, oh no, this makes more sense. On yes, she was dead, but you know, her staff took that blood sacrifice and remade her. I'm totally okay with that. But the art by Walker in this is hands down some of his best.
I mean, she still in the grid then, or is she now like a anonymously in this game?
No, she's in there.
So like he knows that she's back alive, and
yeah, he was watching
the power bar. Okay,
yeah, and she goes back and takes Death Lockett, and I can't remember the other girl, Kate, I think, and blows a hole in the ground, and they wind up underground. The interesting thing is Death Lockett looks in this window, and she's like, oh my God, where are we? And you see the last thing, it's a morgue where the dead, where the people that have been killed are at.
Hmm.
So, you know, you don't know if they're supposed to be down there, if this is part of Arcade's Murder World, or if this is the underworkings of what Murder World really is. But, holy fuck, this is a... Like, I can't believe how much I love this book.
I really like hearing the development of this book, where when it first got announced, it's like, oh, this is Battle Royale and Hunger Games. Like, I've already seen this. Why does Marvel have to do this? And then just listening month by month, I unfortunately haven't gotten to read it yet, but month by month, just people being like, it's good. It's really good. And it seems like it's taken that concept of, you know, last man standing, and then just ran with it in the complete opposite direction from everything done before.
Yeah.
Did they say why he kidnapped these certain particular people, like Vendettas?
No Vendettas. He just...
That kind of makes me curious then why he's got that morgue and what he's doing with those bodies, if...
Well, I mean, you don't want to keep them in your living room. They smell funny after a while.
Okay, but is he harvesting them for some diabolical plan to become a super, super, super villain?
They're just dead bodies. You can't make anything super out of dead bodies.
Yeah, they do it all the time. They can just, like, harvest, like, Superman's eyes, and then you get glowing vision.
I haven't been able to.
Does Arcade have a motive in the book, or...?
Just that he...
It's out of the fun of it, right?
Yeah, it's the fun, and he actually wants to kill these these people. There was actually a really good single-issue story arc that kind of explained, that gave a lot of background to Arcade.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. One of the most interesting things is the teaser for next month is, you know, you see this little thing on the board, what is Murder World, and it says Hank Pym is on the case. So it's going to be the first issue, I think, that will have anything outside of Murder World in there. And I'm kind of... It's special guest creators on the next one. Christos Gage and Carl Moline are going to be doing that issue.
Oh, boy. That's going to look and read beautiful. Like, with those characters, like, Carl Moline draws like that all the time.
Are there...
Like, that's his...
Everyone that's left over, are they, like, all in one team now? Are they
trying to kill? They're all kind of split up in little... Like, there's a couple over here, a couple over here.
Are there any loners or, like, big guns who's, like, powerful?
X-23 tends to, like, kind of be off on her own, then she comes back, and then she off on her own and comes back. But, yeah, it's... I'm invested in this book, man. Like, I'm surprised. Like, I picked it up because I love X-23. And that's the only reason I picked it up. I'm like, I liked The Runaways, I liked Avengers Academy, but... And Reptil in this book has been fantastic. Hazmat's been fantastic. I'm like, okay.
Metal's been fantastic.
Who? Metal? Well, he was for a few pages, you know. But, although he did have an appearance here at the end showing him dead.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, he's back. but, yeah, I highly recommend it. Fantastic job. And, yeah, this is a two mugs up book for me as well. So, grab that one, guys. Tony, did you learn how to read?
Yes, I kind of. Do you know what the green grape said to the purple grape?
Oh, boy.
Just breathe. Just breathe. Get it? It's suffocating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want me to stick to my day job? I picked up Astro City 2, number 2, by Vertigo. As I talked about number 1 a couple weeks ago, this book is just... amazing in the way that it tells its story of the city itself, of the world itself. It doesn't follow one particular character. It has a mashup of the different views of how this world interacts. I know that, Derek, on the last one, you didn't really like, I guess, what, the story, or you didn't like how it was told?
I didn't like the, the only thing I didn't care for was the crazy guy there talking, like, breaking that fourth wall, you know, and talking to the reader.
Yeah, but, I mean, that was just the front... Okay, I guess I can see what you're saying, but obviously if you're following a narrative story of someone, they're talking to the reader, they're talking to someone. just like in this one. This is following this chick who, what the hell was her name? We'll call her Wanda, but I know that's not right. Answering this help wanted ad for a call center. And you're kind of being like, who is this chick? What's this getting into? It's going to be probably something diabolical.
Her name is Morella.
See, I was close.
Yeah, there was an A in it.
She goes to this call center, and she finds out it's really more than what it's meant to be. It is the call center for the superhero Honor Guard. It is a place where people will call in and be like, there's this going on, or the big evil man is here robbing the bank, and they need to kind of set aside what's a real phone call, what's not, who needs this emergency personnel first, who really needs the superheroes, or can the local police do it? So they're like the superhero 911. If there's a cat stuck up in a tree, you're not going to call in the Samaritan to come do that. You can call the cops for that. And so you're finding out that there's this whole backbone to the superhero community that I'm like, I don't have superhero powers, but I would love to be a part of this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a way that humans can interact. And that's what I also love about Astro City is they have these views of not the superheroes, of what happens living in this destruction. The one thing I've still been curious about is why it's Astro City 2 and what happened to Astro City 1, but...
Isn't that just the...
No, that's the full title.
Did it have that? I thought it had one on the first one. I think that's just the issue number.
Yeah, it is. Just the issue number.
Oh. Well, then I'm a big... stupid head.
Yeah. I was gonna,
you would think okay. I could read.
I was going to try and tell a joke, and I actually pulled it back because it was so bad that I went, no.
He got so far. So far.
All right, we just need to redo this whole thing. We screwed up. We got to just... Drunk on Comics, episode 58.
No moms, no rules.
Back to Off the Shelf, brought to you by GrandCon.
.com. Spoiler alert. Okay, anyways, now we're up to speed.
Avengers. All right.
One of the things in this book that they talk about is how they get these phone calls of stuff coming in, but as these 911 operators have to deal with, they have to sometimes make the decisions of who actually gets called in, who doesn't, and sometimes get that one call where someone says that someone broke into this warehouse, and that's all that they go on, and then they realize, holy shit, this was going on in this area, this was going on in this area. We need to send them right now because it's going to be a huge supervillain battle royale. And you kind of see the interaction of, like, when that happens, when you hit on that one, you want that big phone call that you made happen, that you helped save a city, essentially. Getting towards the end, you find that this main character kind of gets put on leave, I guess, because she saw what she thought was an extraterrestrial alien, but it was really just a weather balloon, and she kind of got yelled at by her boss of, you guys really need to know what is real and what isn't. These characters can't really tell everyone else what they're doing because they don't want the supervillains to then find out, oh, you work at the call center, I want to infiltrate it somehow, because they keep moving it. Ultimately, towards the end, it was talking about the goods and the bads of this job. It just made me really want to get involved in working for the superhero community. So
you're going to quit this job and your other job, and you're going to go...
Yeah, if S.H.I.E.L.D. called me today, I'd say, fuck you guys. But...
Yeah, well, Maria Hill's hot, so...
Yeah.
I hope she calls.
Yeah, I hope she's the mother of my children.
God damn it. She's not. You already know she's not.
What happens when your child is half fiction? How does that work?
Well...
It could be stranger than fiction.
Oh my God. All right, let's just move on. This
oh,
is...
boy.
One thing I need to say, though, at the end, you realize that a simple phone call of daddy's beating my mommy again, and when this chick sends the police, well, come to find out that was one of those big ones that she could have looked into a little bit farther, and she fucked up royally. So it's to be continued to follow her adventures in call center operations.
Is it actually going to follow her adventures?
I believe it's going to be to be continued to follow what happens with this story. Like I said, each book, they could come back to one of the superheroes, next book being some human views, go back to that superhero. So it doesn't always just, they're always self-contained. And I'm guessing since it's saying to be continued, they're going to go off of what happened now after missing that call. But who knows? I guess we'll check it out in Astro City 3.
Astro City 3 from issue Vertigo 3. Issue 3. Yeah. Well, cool. That was Off the Shelf, brought to you by Grand Con, Mom's Rule. And check them out, grand-con.com. I want to go right into Best on Tap this week.
Okay.
I'm really excited about Best on Tap.
And why is that, Derek? Oh, wait, that's because the reason why we came... Well, we should say what Best on Tap is. Damn it, I fucked up. Let's redo this. All right. Drunk on Comics, episode 58.
Mom's Rule.
Oh, wow. Damn, you just... You fucked up the fuck up.
I don't know.
Spoiler alert.
No moms, no rules.
Avengers.
Let's get back into it.
Astro City 225.
This is Best on Tap, brought to you by No Moms, No Rules.
No, Best on Tap actually is brought to you by comicbookdisplays.com. Go check them out. They are in Diamond previews as well, so you can get them at your local comic shop. You can order them direct. They make awesome fucking comic book frames that you can put your book in, hang on the wall, take them out, trade them out, whatever you want. We've got a few of them hanging up here, and we just ordered a whole bunch more.
Yep. So the reason how we got to this book before we talk about it is my brother sent his thoughts on what he thought Best on Tap should be. And it was two guys and a goat on the cover, and my brother goes, what the hell is with the goat?
Like, yeah. Yeah, like, it's Quantum and Woody number one from Valiant. Well, then, you know, I'm like, okay, that's cool. But there's a variant cover done by Tom Fowler, which is just a super big close-up of the goat staring right at you from the cover. But then they also have this awesome little poster with real talking goat action, which, yeah, I don't think this is actually on the cover itself.
No, it is. I believe, yeah, on the cover, they should be able to do the QR scanning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. But it takes you to a YouTube video, which is just the goat. Just the goat bleeding at you. And then eventually it tries to say Quantum and Woody in there. And I laughed my ass off because you just put this phone, you put your phone down on it and it's roughly the size of the goat's mouth, so it looks like the goat's talking at you. Tony thought it was real and was trying to communicate with it.
Shut up. That is not true.
True story.
Yep. Fuck you guys.
Yep. But yeah, so that's
I may have asked it a question.
a couple times. I'm like, dude, this is not Siri. It's a fucking YouTube video. But yeah, so awesome cover from Tom Fowler and a hell of a lot of fun from Valiant putting something together like that. So that's Best on Tap this week.
When he's trying to say Quantum and Woody, he's like, he can talk. He knows what we're talking about.
Alrighty. Tony, what's on deck here?
Let's go into some news and notes.
Alright. Kick us off with something there, Tone.
Paula Deen's getting a comic book.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. This is an interesting one. But the funny thing is that the comic book, it's another one of these, powerful women in, you know, whatever. I don't remember what the fuck they do on here, but it's a blue water book.
Yeah, they do these often. It's a very interesting choice.
Well, this apparently has been in production for quite a few months before all this happened. And
they're just gonna roll with it.
Yeah, and Blue Water said, we don't condone her use of racial insensitivities, and we think that intolerance has no place in a just society. But despite her recent failings, we also strongly believe she still has a powerful story to tell, one that fits the female empowerment model of our books.
Yeah.
So.
All right, I guess.
Yeah. So they're going forward with it. I don't know if I don't know how many people were going to pick this up in the first place. It actually might help sell some books.
It might.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
there's some interesting stuff at Marvel going on with the Marvel Knights.
Yeah, so they're bringing Marvel Knights back, eh?
Yeah. With an indie influence, which I don't know if you can really say an indie influence. Yeah. Because, I mean, in all honesty, if you really want to say a Marvel book that has an indie influence, that's where we can look at Hawkeye. You know?
Yeah, it has indie conventions in it.
Yeah, but it's more the artistic look. I don't really think that they're going to really do something drastic with how it's, like, with the storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, I could be wrong. But coming out this fall, three new titles are going to be Marvel Knights Spider-Man from Matt Kent and Marco Rudy, Marvel Knights X-Men from Joe Keating and, I'm sorry, Marvel Knights X-Men is written and drawn by Bram Revel, and Marvel Knights Hulk was written by Joe Keating and Piotr Kowalski.
Yeah, I find it interesting, like, those aren't exactly indie creators. I mean, they are. They got their starts there. But, like, Matt Kent does a bunch of DC work now, and Joe Keating does a bunch of Marvel work now. And I guess it's going to be in the story that it has. It's indie. But this kind of reminds me also of like, 10, 15 years ago when they were trying to bring in those people, the big dogs at Image and stuff. You know, Joe Keating's done very well at Image, and Matt Kent's done well overall, and maybe they're going to do that second round now because they've had the opposite going on lately with people leaving to Image, you know, or something.
Actually, this one you might find interesting here too, though, Jim, that we talked last week about Astonishing X-Men getting canceled, and apparently there was supposed to be more Astonishing titles out there when they first came out, one of them being Astonishing Captain America, which didn't come to fruition for whatever reason, but it is now coming out as Captain America Living Legend. And the first issue is drawn by Eddie Granoff, which I've only known him mostly for covers, not a full issue. So I'm pretty...
He's done some stuff, but it's been years.
Yeah. Second issue apparently is going to be Augustin Alessio.
Oh, wow.
And don't know if he'll draw more than that, but it's kind of cool. And it's going to be written by Andy Diggle.
Hmm.
So that to me seems like it has more of an indie edge than Marvel Knights.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I missed Marvel days.
What about Marvel now? It seems like most of it takes place in the daytime.
Well, if it's day when you're reading it, then it's now.
But Marvel Knights doesn't refer to the time.
I can't wait till 2099 when people are picking up these issues of Marvel 2099 and they're like, man, these stories are old.
They were right on. Spot on.
Yeah. Oh, another little fun tidbit, which I'm really hoping that both these, that this book comes out at the same time that the Paula Deen book comes out and they sit right next to each other on the shelf. Daryl McDaniels, a.k.a. DMC from Run DMC, is about to, using the pen name of Daryl Makes Comics, get it, DMC?
Yeah.
He's making a comic book. And, you know, I don't know. It's, there's a Kickstarter for it.
Oh.
Why are you hating on him?
Because
he wanted to make comics. Don't you want to make comics? Jim wants to make comics. Do you hate on him? What do you got against Run DMC?
I don't hate on Jim. I just hate Jim's comics.
All I'm going to say is good luck to him, because every time I've seen a celebrity musician or anything try to jump in, except for the guy from Say Anything and Gerard Way, the My Chemical Romance, who actually are doing really well, but whenever I see this kind of thing try to come to fruition,
here's why I don't think it's going to work. I appreciate him for wanting to try, but what this article said from Vibe is that that it's going to fuse authentic 80s hip-hop culture into a 48-page graphic novel It's going to focus on b-boys, graffiti artists, and hip-hop culture alongside comic book themes. That just... I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's an interesting way to word
yeah.
what your story's about.
And Daryl's going to be a superhero fighting justice in an alternate universe. And it says he's a superhero fighting justice. So is he...
Fighting justice.
Yeah, so that would make him a villain, ooh, I think.
Interesting.
But apparently, I don't know, Vibe maybe can't.
This is most likely a typo.
Yeah. Or they figured nobody's going to read this far into it anyway, so I will just put my mom's
wow.
name.
Wow. Derek has something definitely against DMC here.
I love Run DMC, but I just think that's a terrible idea for a comic. It's like the fucking Honey Boo Boo comic book. And those damn 15 Minutes of Fame comics.
Yeah.
And people that, you know, it's like...
Wow.
Yeah,
oh, this is getting...
But someone must like them. They'll sell some things. Why do you gotta hate on other people's likes?
Yeah. There is an audience. They're still pumping those things out.
Yeah,
so
there they are. All right,
like I said, best of luck.
You got...
Just like you hate San Diego Comic-Con and everything it stands for.
I don't hate everything it stands for. I'm not a fan of the fact that it's not a Comic-Con anymore.
Well, what is it?
It's a pop culture event.
So
it's with comics.
Yeah. 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 It's one of those things that where, you know, when I think 90% of the reason that people go there is not comic related, why do you still call it Comic-Con? It's kind of like saying that you're a shoe store and you sell two pairs of shoes, but the rest of the stuff that you sell in there are like, you know, like shorts and wigs.
Yeah, but, all right, the branding, it's Comic-Con if they try to make it like MediaCon or something. They'll lose everybody, you know?
Yeah. But fucking Metallica is going to promote their movie.
Hey. It's where...
Why are you hating on people? I mean, there's people that like Metallica.
I hate you, Tony. I hate grapes.
From what I've heard, though, like, in the last year, the comic side, like, just because tables are getting too pricey, like, comic side's dying itself. It's not just that it's being pushed away, but, like, there's just uninterest now. Complete uninterest on the comic side.
I think a lot more people are going to New York.
That and yeah, and then
into like smaller cons,
WonderCon, C2E2, and stuff like that.
World City.
So Grand now cons. It's kind of it seems like it's kind of having a trickle down effect on the rest of it and everything. Like you know, movies started like, kind of going down there. There's not as much. It's not as much big movie news anymore. It seems like I don't know. I think it's just kind of slowly losing its edge.
I hope so. I hope it actually goes back to its roots. So, then I will love and embrace San Diego once again.
Dude, I hated them when they sold out.
This is actually some well, let's go to some movie and TV news then. Fox committed to a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen TV pilot.
Sure, go for it. We got the movie.
Yeah, that I think most people that are fans would prefer to forget that movie.
Yeah.
I
think most fans just don't want it to be anything but comics, so...
I know Sean Connery hated that movie. Like, have you ever heard him talk about that?
No, actually not.
He hates that movie that he was in.
Sean Connery hates a lot of things, though, so...
He must be related to Derek.
Yeah. Yeah.
Edgar Wright said that he finally has completed the script on Ant-Man.
Great.
Yeah, he put that on kind of the back burner when he was doing World's End, but now that that's done, he's got it all done, and they're going to start filming that.
That movie should have came out 5 years ago, but great.
And, Dark Justice, the Justice League Dark movie, very active, especially now that Del Toro is kind of getting off while he's still doing all the promotions for Pacific Rim, but now that he's got a little more time on his hands, he can focus more on that project.
They really want to do that?
What? Does he really want to do
really,
that?
I know he does, but I didn't know like the studios were...
Yes, for some reason the studios are really... I think they can probably... They feel they can make that as... Don't give it like a $100 million type movie, but one of those smaller movies where they'll make their money back.
Yeah.
Because there'll be a fan base and because of him.
My speculation is some movie exec going, the Twilight's too good. And the superheroes do good. We put them together, make a dark superhero movie. And just takes a long drag off his cigar.
And goes back to his country of unknown origin where he learned that accent?
Yeah.
fuck that was.
It was just a fat cat. A fat cat.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
I'm a fat cat.
This is huge news. George Perez went exclusive to Boom Studios.
Yeah, I like that. That's cool.
Well, and who'd we have go exclusive here a couple weeks ago? Was it Paul Jenkins?
At Boom?
Yeah, one exclusive.
Maybe that's... I think it might have been Paul Jenkins, yep. Yeah.
And that was a few weeks ago, and then last week, Boom announces that they acquired Arkea. This week, they announced that George Perez is exclusive.
They must be plotting something.
They are fucking kicking ass.
I think there's some comic exec sitting there going, we need all the creators, and we need more imprints, and we're going to do something. It's not going to be dog, it's not going to be superhero.
And then it takes a drag off his and long then, cigarette.
Cigar,
yeah.
Fat cat.
Yeah. but no, like it's pretty cool to see, you know, that I mean George is I think mostly known for his work on Superman.
Yeah. And Avengers and Justice League.
Right? Well, I think people know him
Avengers is for me, I think.
Yeah.
That's
but yeah, so he's gonna go over there and for right now I guess he's stepping away from like the big, you know, the big two or the big corporate comics as you know he referred to it, and I'm very excited to see what he's going to be doing.
I think whatever he does there, I think it's going to be fun and worthwhile.
Yeah, that actually was something that came from that was an exclusive interview that Comic Book Resources had. It's a really good interview. I'd highly recommend people go check that out.
Cool.
One other fun thing, actually, Comic Book Resources had this week that I'm not going to dive into here, but I would recommend. Ron Mars wrote a really cool story on there about his more or less most awkward convention moment ever. And it's well worth going and checking that out. I won't spoil it. Fun read. So, awesome. But yeah, check out that from Ron Mars. Tony, did you have any other news there?
Jim, have you ever thought about getting published on Amazon?
No.
Why not?
Not my bag. It's
a place that you could do it. I mean, they're starting their own imprint.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, for digital.
For digital. Okay, yeah. I think they were, a couple months ago, tried out, or maybe it was a year ago by now, but they were trying out something with that.
Yeah, so. Apparently they're going full force on it now.
All
right. Well, yeah, so. Their first graphic novel is called Jet City Comics. Is one of the first of the many publishers under it. So you can get Arne Gilt up there or something else.
Yeah, look forward to Jim Toe. No, he probably won't make it. The guy sucks, but all right.
Just going to be Amazon's bitch and owned by them. This, I'm very curious, is that rumor has it that there will be an X-Force movie coming.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm just curious. I'm curious what version of X-Force are we talking? You know, I mean, is it going to be Cable and, you know, Feral and, like, all those old Rob Liefeld original characters, or is it going to be more like the 2008 X-Force where it's a bunch of...
Wetworks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's most likely without Wolverine, though. Maybe they would do a Wolverine. They'd have to, I guess.
No, I think actually easier for them to do, because it'd be separate characters, is actually the Cable type, because none of them are tied up in any other sort of movies.
Well, actually, none of the characters are tied up...
Well, they are mutants, but I guess... You know what I'm saying. They're not really tied to those X-Men movies. They're not really tied to the Avengers core movies.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have to be characters that have been in X-Force. You look at First Class, there's a lot of characters that are just hodgepodge together. That'd probably be the best to do. I still want to see Domino, though.
I tell you what, though. I would love if you put Domino, X-23, you know.
And Psylocke.
Psylocke.
Into a room.
Uh-huh. And there's a lot of... oil.
Okay. All right.
That is used on the door because it's
really
squeaking.
We were just saying they're going to be in a room talking, maybe doing a podcast.
No. No, there's a lot of oil because
the
door squeaks and they don't want
this
to
summer.
Squeaker.
Triple X Force.
Derek's like, really? You read that somewhere? I want to see that movie. Is that real news?
I'm sure that's out there. I've seen some terrible, terrible things.
No, no, just counterbalance it by throwing Dupe in.
Oh, Jesus. Dupe's a pimp, man.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I would love seeing, like, you know, Angel in there and Psylocke, and that could work very, very well.
Or have it spin out of Days of Future Past and take some of those characters, throw some new ones in, and make your own universe out of it and stuff. And
fuck up 14 characters that I love, which will probably happen. But anyway, so that was kind of my interesting rumor news that I ran across.
Yeah. I have one last thing. Matt Fraction, I'm really happy. He's bringing the Inhumans back to the Marvel front and center right after Infinity gets done. There's going to be, it's called Inhumanity, I believe, is the next story arc of the big world-changing Marvel comic type, you know, stuff going on.
I was reading FF.
I don't know exactly what you're getting
at. I was reading FF, and he seems like he probably has a pretty decent handle on those characters.
Oh, for sure. So. And I know, Derek, you don't really like the space opera stuff that...
Not in comics, no.
But Inhumans.
The Inhumans are pretty badass. Yeah. And this has got to do with releasing the Terrigen Mist on Earth, and there's going to be a lot of new mutations with that. And from what he was saying, or one of the editors there at Marvel was saying, it's going to be kind of like a Game of Thrones, where they're all going to break apart into factions of Inhumans, and they're going to kind of want that title of ruler of the Inhumans. So,
everybody's going to die.
No, Inhumans is perfect for that.
Yeah. You know? So I'm very looking forward to this. I hate normally knowing what's coming down the pipeline, but this is kind of cool.
You don't like knowing what's coming?
No, I like to be surprised.
I don't read previews.
Yeah, I don't like... I sometimes look at the covers, because that doesn't tell you shit about what's in a book.
No, we've
Because you really can't read or judge a book by its cover, so...
Well, you can. We have.
Those covers are drawn before it's even written.
Yeah.
What are you going
to
do?
Tony's been wrong before.
Yeah. One of the things I used to always love about covers was you'd get the cover, and it was usually the X-Men, where they're always dead, and there's like the supervillain there, and you're just thinking, is this the issue that Cyclops dies or something?
Is this the last issue of the X-Men ever? Yeah. Oh, no!
And then you're like, wait, no one fucking died. This cover doesn't say shit about what's in here. It always pissed me off.
Uncanny number 142, in this issue, everyone dies. But they do, because it was in the future. That was the Days of Futures Past. You know, shit right there. But yeah, everyone dies.
You know, they actually don't do a lot of wording on covers anymore either. Like, telling, like... And special guest, the thing.
A lot. They brought that back.
On their throwback covers in particular, but they're typically on their variants. I don't see them as much on their regular.
DC? No, their regular covers. They always have. Not this. I have a book here that from DC. We won't
Where does it say anything?
It usually does. Like,
usually, just not today.
Or any of the other ones.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Let's see here. I have Batman. There's nothing on that.
Well, that's these Year Zero banner or whatever at the top. I don't know. I'm gonna take off.
Damn it! You just fucked this up. We need to start over.
This is episode 58 of Drunk on Comics.
I'm Jim. I don't like myself.
I love my mom.
Grand Con.
Avengers.
Avengers.
News and notes. Best on tap. Goat.
One listener.
Grapes. Indy Turnpike.
Wait, did we do that already?
No. I just jumped into the future.
Oh.
Alright, Indy Turnpike this week, brought to you by inter-comics.com. Go check out InterComics. We love those guys. They're an online retailer based in the UK, and they ship worldwide. So go check them out. There's also a lot of fun reviews and blogs and shit on their site. And they have really good prices on especially some of their back stock. It's like basically like $1, $1.50.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. You know, so just buy a whole lot from them, and then I think, like, the more you buy, probably the less the shipping's going to cost. I don't know. I haven't bought anything in a while on there, so I got to figure out how that works again. But that's still one of my favorite sites to go to. I mean, I probably go at least twice a week and go read what's new on there. So check them out, inter-comics.com. This week for Indie Turnpike, I have East of West, number 4, from Image Comics, written by Jonathan Hickman, Art by Nick Dragata. Colors by Frank Martin. And Russ Wooten did the letters. This book has been really fucking cool. And it's dark. It is somewhat violent. But the art and the colors are just gorgeous. Basically, what you've got going on in here is... What you've got going on in here is that you have Death, who is looking for the woman that he fell in love with. The other three horsemen of the apocalypse are pissed because he's kind of separated. They want to bring about the end of the world, and he's going after this. And so what you find in here, Death has tracked down the woman that he loves, who is in New Shanghai, and he and Wolf and Crow go in there and just lay waste to people to get to her. And it's just so beautifully written. The artwork is fantastic. I love that there are a couple pages that have like a ton of panels, and they're like maybe inch and a half panels. And the storytelling is fantastic through the art. The writing is great. I mean, I don't know exactly where the story is going, but Tony, you remember back in issue one, those headless mechanical horses?
Yeah.
Yeah. It shoots a giant cannon out of where the head would be. It's just like a giant fucking laser cannon that comes out of it, and it just wipes everything out.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
That's a good upgrade to horses.
Yeah.
Horses with little lasers on the heads.
Yeah.
For the heads.
The cool thing is that the three other horsemen go to this guy at the end, and they're like, you know, he's going to be coming for you, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you know what? He goes, I'm not afraid of death. He goes, death happens to all of us. He goes, but what you should be afraid of is this woman, because she has conquered death. Basically, making death fall in love with her, she is above death. Hmm. And it's very, very poetic in the way that it's written, and it's a beautiful book. I'm loving this. This is one of the coolest new books that I've read in a while. And Jim is almost drooling.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, the art is absurd in this book. Nick Dragota, like, the emotions that he puts in every single face on there, you know.
Yeah.
I, unfortunately, due to a comic shop I go to, haven't been able to read since issue one, but it's something I just want to get back to really bad.
Yeah, I'll bring up the other issues. But, yeah, Tony, that's that page that you're on right there where you see, like, all those... No, you were on it. With, like...
listeners, look.
Yeah, I think it's like page 3 or 4. Actually, I mean, it's right in. But like all those small panels on there, I just absolutely adored it. Fantastic book. So two huge mugs up. Go buy this book if you're not reading it. You're missing out. It is a little dark, so I mean, I'll give people that warning because I know that that's one thing that not everybody's into. The dark and violent, but the story does justice to why the violence is there.
Yeah.
So that's it for Indie Turnpike. Once again, inter-comics.com. Go check them out.
.com.
Mm.
All right.
No moms, no rules.
Shut up. We're not on drugs, but this feels like what it would be like to be recording on drugs. Yeah. We're just, like, all over the place today.
Tripping on comics.
Yeah. I feel funny.
The purple berries taste like burning.
Grapes taste like grapes.
All right, let's do last call, I guess.
You're going to miss Booze in the Book. What?
Oh, Booze in the Book. Yeah, that's right.
Nah, let's just do last call. Fuck it. We're done.
Fuck you guys. I got Booze in the Book this week.
Oh.
I picked up Pacific Rim Tales from Year Zero. First off, this book is a perfect tie-in to the movie where it adds more to the story.
You don't know that.
I'm assuming it does.
We aren't going to see the movie till after we record.
They didn't know that until... You just fucked it up.
All right, let's start over. Episode 58 of Drunk on Comics.
Moo. I mean,
Avengers.
Any turn bike.
God, I can't wait to hear that this sounds all grapes. Spliced up. It's going to be...
All right, anyways, I'm going to go back.
Jim's mom rules.
All right, so it's a perfect... possibly tie into add to more of the story, since officially we haven't seen it yet, but I know that this movie's going to kick ass from what all my friends said. But it doesn't feel like it's just a cash-in. Like, this was, honestly, if this was just a standalone story and it was a new comic book, I'd probably be buying this. It was really that great. Art was great. And also, the story was great. First off, before I say the drink, it's going to be obvious. These robots, they're called Jaegers. So what else to pair it with than Jägermeister? I mean, the book was just calling to me. Second reason is these giant robots kick ass, and sometimes when I drink Jaeger, it kicks me on my ass. So,
or sometimes when we drink Jaeger, we think we can kick everyone else's ass.
Yes. And third and foremost, this book is about giant robots fighting monsters, and I usually mix my Jaeger with monster. So, all in all, this book is just like a perfect perfect tie-in to this drink, or this drink is a perfect tie-in to this movie.
Do you think Kanye West would like that comic a lot, as much as he liked the movie? No.
What?
I thought this was a pop culture podcast. Never mind. Okay.
No, we don't talk pop culture.
So anyways, Jaeger robots.
That was an awkward one right there.
Read this book with that. Be sober when you watch the movie, so that you can actually enjoy it. Because I know I did. I mean, Will. Or, shit. Hey, when they listen to this, we will have already seen the movie.
Well, that is true. But
I must go now. My people need me. I
want out. All right, what the fuck do you got for last call?
Last call. Uncanny X-Men, number 8. Daredevil. I know you're shocked, but...
That should have been best on tap.
I do love the cover, the little kid that says, I beat Daredevil. This was a great issue. It was actually about the kid that used to bully Daredevil that was actually the kid that was chasing him when he got into the accident with the truck and the really cool. And Somni took a break off this issue, and Rodriguez stepped in. And it seamless. It was great. Hellheim, number 5. Or I think it's just Hellheim 5, number 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Installment number 5, issue 5, chapter 5.
Yep.
Abridged.
Miss Fury, number 4. Bubble Gun, number 2, that I reviewed here a while back, is still awesome. X from Dark Horse, Dwayne Swierczynski is telling a fantastic fucking story in this book, and there's a guy with a pig face now. That's all I'm saying, so you should pick that one up. Dawn?
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to talk about that.
I wanted to, and it was a damn close. You know, I had to go for the two that I thought were absolutely the best, and I did love Dawn, the Swordsmaster's daughter, and other stories, and you definitely should go pick it up if you're not a fan of Winsner. He draws the best woman I've ever seen in my life. So, you know, just go pick it up. And it's cool, it's fun, and I really want him to start doing stuff on a regular basis again. But there is a teaser, there's more Dawn stuff coming soon. Jim, you had a couple in there too, didn't you?
Yeah, alright, so I picked up Justice League for the first time since issue 1 came out, and, you know, it's this Trinity War thing. They're setting up a story. I like the whole idea of Justice League of America being this thing that's to keep the Justice League in check, I guess. And that's like they're about to start this all out brawl in like the Middle East or something. And there's somebody pulling the strings behind the scene. And I don't like it, it's good. It's just it's such a big ensemble cast. And I guess with any comic event, you're going to have this happen that you don't really get, you don't get into the, you know, the
words.
You don't get emotionally. All right, sorry. You don't get emotionally invested into any of these characters. I was just looking at Derek's goofy face there, and it put me off. I got one of my favorite panels of the week, which is just Shazam with the best fucking grin on his face, saying, "I just knocked down Superman." I want to go back and reread all those Shazam stories they just recently did. Yeah, it was okay. Check it out, you know, if you want some big ol' brawl with superheroes. And then another one, Buffy, but that's wrapping up. It's really good. It's coming to a really nice finale. That's it for me.
Tony, did you have any other books this week that needed a shout-out?
For my brother, he loved Ultimates number 27, and I really enjoyed Superior Spider-Man. What?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
Okay. Superior Spider-Man was great. It was closing off this recent story arc, and it looks like it's going to get bigger, badder, more superior.
Mm-hmm. Superior.
Yes.
Yeah. Walking Dead 112 was a good issue. Like
What happened?
Well, I kind of filled Tony in. Are you walking away, Jim?
Yeah, I walked away.
I will tell you, they go after Negan.
I'm not caught up enough to even know who a Negan is.
Oh, then what's it matter?
Yeah. I don't know what a Negan is, but I don't want to know either.
Do you know what happened in issue
100? I'll let Robert Kirkman tell me.
Do you know
what happened in issue 100? I'll let him
tell me. Issue 100? Negan.
I'll let Robin Kirkman.
Yeah.
I'll let Robert Kirkman tell me.
Yeah. Carl's dead.
All right.
No, he's not.
What's a Carl?
But no, actually, this. Tony and I were talking about this the other day that sometimes you have, like, that one issue, like, one out of every three issues of The Walking Dead, which is. Just feels more like exposition, but there is a reason why it's.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the really good cliffhanger, you know. Yeah.
I've only read it in trade, so you can't tell where issues start and end. I like that about it.
Well, you can, because there's always one big splash page.
No. From what I hear, it's horrible in issues. Like, I mean, as far as suspense goes.
Yeah, it's
but it's seamless and tough. I love it.
Oh my god, it's
That's so why good. Reading the trades is just awesome.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we read the first 16 in a matter of, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I read... When I started jumping in, there was, like, 12 out.
Yeah.
I think so.
I like that you just mumble that so that people can't hear what you're saying.
It's like he's got a mouthful of grapes.
I'm gonna go to bed.
What do the grapes say when it gets stepped on? Let out a little wine.
Oh, God.
That was a good one. Come on. God. Waka, waka, waka.
Wookie, wookie galore.
One thing I do want to do is give a shout out to my brother who can't really be here today because he's been working his ass off on the play Shakespeare, the complete works of Shakespeare, Abridged.
The complete works of William Shakespeare.
Yes.
Abridged.
Me and Derek got the chance to go see it. It was hilarious. For anyone in our close area, Heritage Theater Group is doing it. They have shows coming up on the 18th, 19th, and 20th of July. So if you're listening to this in a timely manner, definitely go check out Matt. The play was probably one of the best plays I've ever seen.
2013, by the way, if you're very untimely.
Yes. So go check that out.
I was shocked how much fun I had at that. There's a lot of like dick and fart joke type things in there, which was always fun for the crowd. And to the lady that brought the baby, I hate you. Yeah. Outside that, I think we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly think we should probably just start this whole thing over.
Drunk on Comics, episode 58.
This is Drunk on Comics, episode 58.
Mama jokes.
Mom's rule.
Jim's. All right, again, this is Drunk on Comics, episode 58.
Yes.
Hello? All right, we'll start again. That was a really awkward one. This is Drunk on Comics, episode 58.
Hello. All right, guys. I'm Derek on behalf of Jim.
Yeah.
And Tony?
Not on my behalf.
And some terrible jokes today.
And episode 58?
Yeah. Episode 58 brought to you by Jim's mom. We will... But Jim's mom rules. And he just shuts off his mic. All right, guys. Keep reading those comics. We'll be back again next week to talk to you then. See ya.
Episode 58 of Drunk on Comics, starting now. Thank you.
one by one.